is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can always get a daily dose of great information about your favorite NBA and NFL teams, including the Pacers right here. And we are happy to be presented to you today by SeatGeek and their great SeatGeek app for your smartphone, which makes it easy to buy tickets to join the fray at the Fieldhouse or catch the Pacers on the road. And if you enter promo code LOPACERS for your first ticket purchase, SeatGeek will give you $20 back, which will come in handy for some treats or cold beverages of your choice. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, and on today's episode, we will look back at the weekend for the Pacers, which was exhausting to watch because they lost two games in Philly on Friday. They let the Sixers win their first game of the year while the Pacers continued to remain winless on the road. And then the Pacers lost their first home game on Saturday night when they played without Paul George and lost to the Celtics 105-99. Not a good weekend for the Pacers as they continue to hit rough patches during games, which become fatal, and it's become a bit of an issue looking around and seeing where the answers may come from. There's been some good play out of the starting unit at times. On Friday, C.J. Miles was inserted into the starting lineup, which I had my concerns about because he was playing so well as a reserve. But as it turns out, Monte Ellis actually gave the team a boost coming off the bench and actually ended up playing a very similar role. The two players really kind of playing similar roles as far as minutes played, and you know that makes them both available down the stretch for whoever has a good matchup and has it going. So those two are almost interchangeable at this point, I guess, and it does set up better for the Pacers to be able to play a bigger player on the wing in Miles with the starting lineup for defensive purposes. But against the Celtics, who played three guards because they are shorthanded without Jay Crowder and Al Horford, both Monte and Miles started because Paul George was out. So we didn't get to see how that would work, where they may be able to create a little size advantage, actually. But in the end, in both games, nothing worked real well. There were different issues that plagued the Pacers in both losses, but further emphasized all of the problem areas that continue to bubble up that the Pacers still need to shore up. You know, you have your defensive breakdowns, untimely turnover issues, too many fouls, allowing too many free throws for the opponent, and continuing to lose the rebounding battle. Now, in Philly, the Pacers were out-rebounded 54-40, and as McMillan mentioned after the game, the Sixers simply won the hustle game and were able to get 13 offensive rebounds, which helped them score 18 second chance points. And as for free throws, the Pacers shot a fair amount themselves, shooting in the low 20s, but Philly shot 31 freebies on Friday, and the Celtics shot 33 on Saturday. So both games are at a negative differential for free throws made because they gave up so many. And in both cases, you know, if that's even, that's the game. I think it was -6 against the Celtics, and that was it. That was the point differential in the final score. So against Philly, it seemed like the Pacers were in control and heading for their first road win They were up 6 with 5 minutes to go. Things were rolling pretty good. Got a stop. But then with 5 minutes left, a quick shot at the other end for Paul George. Miss. Come down. And Erson Ilyasova sizes up a three-pointer. And it seemed like PG was a little frustrated, probably knowing it was a poor shot. And ended up hitting Ilyasova, who not only made the shot, took the foul, made a four-point play, really sparked Philly. And next thing you know, literally it seemed like a blink of an eye, they're on a 9-0 run, they're up by 3, and the game is in jeopardy. And the Pacers really had to scramble, much like they did Wednesday night when Teague and PG made some big plays down the stretch to get the game into overtime and win at the Fieldhouse. The two did the same at Philly. I'm not quite sure that my eyes were deceiving me. It just seemed like Philly just had to simply make a couple of plays happen to keep the ball away from the Pacers. And next thing you know, Paul George is at the line with 2 seconds left. And to his credit, made both free throws under pressure to eventually send the game into overtime. But, you know, the Sixers seized that moment in OT. And they were playing with Joel Embiid, who was not at the Fieldhouse on Wednesday. And he was a big difference maker. And really had Miles Turner on his heels in foul trouble and was definitely probably the biggest difference maker that Philly had compared to the game on Wednesday. So the next night, back in Indy, Paul George showed up with a sprained ankle. Now, during the game in Philly, he kind of sprained his thumb, had to leave early in the game, which was frightening, but he was able to return and showed no ill effects from it, from the thumb. But then on Saturday, when we get to the Fieldhouse, we learn he's questionable game-time decision with a sprained ankle and ends up not being able to go after trying to test it out before the game. Apparently, he had tweaked the ankle even though there was no sign of it during the game. And Nate Taylor from the Indy Star, who was covering the game in Philly, said PG didn't mention the ankle at all when asked about his thumb after the game. So, you know, never know. Maybe he booted something on the plane on the way home out of frustration, but regardless, he did have it taped up. Apparently, the ankle swelled up after the game, and on Saturday morning was really bad. So he sat out Saturday night. He did meet with the media after the game, which was good, since he doesn't always want to meet with the media when he plays. So he hung around and felt that he would be able to go on Monday. But again, he was really disappointed with the loss to the Celtics. Now, the Celtics were playing without two key players themselves, without Jay Crowder, out with an ankle, and Al Horford, who's trying to come back from a concussion. And really, the absence of both teams, or the holes on both teams with the injuries, made for a pretty good game. Both teams were also playing on back-to-back, so there was some fatigue issues, but the Pacers looked like they were going to put together a solid game. They ran out to a double-digit lead in the first half. But as we've seen so often with those leads they get, they let that thing slip away, and by halftime it was down to 3 points or, you know, one possession. So the game was tight pretty much throughout the second half. There were a few stretches where it felt like the Pacers had control of the game and then it would flip-flop back. It was one of those games where some guys who have done relatively nothing for the opponent rise up and have a good game for the Pacers. In this case, James Young and Terry Rozier were both great players off the bench for the Celtics. And the biggest issue that Nate McMillan pointed to after the game was the half-court offense. And the Pacers pounding the ball too much, settling for early shots in the half-court sets, and not letting players get to the second, third, fourth option before getting the shot up. So there were many instances of that. You know, Jeff Teague had his share. You know, he scored 20 points, but did plenty of pounding and pushing up quick shots. Made just 4 of 15 shots in the game. But, again, some key turnovers. A late turnover by Miles Turner turned into a quick turnover for touchdown bucket for the Celtics. And on that play, kind of looked like McMillan mentioned that, you know, he thought Turner was trying to get out and get a three up instead of just catching and shooting like the play was designed for. But in reality, if you do look at it, and Turner explained that as well, you know, the pass was low. He was trying to gather it. He really didn't have it secure to shoot it. And then in doing so, he was swarmed and lost the ball. So just poor execution down the stretch, and it rose up and bit the Pacers again. Now, those key hustle numbers continue to hurt the Pacers, and they have an opportunity to get better at home this week, with three games starting Monday against Orlando, and then Wednesday against Cleveland. Frank Vogel's return to the field house should add some juice to the game on Monday. If you want to get out to the field house this week, make sure you get the best deal on tickets by using the SeatGeek app on your smartphone. The NBA season is back, and SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to find tickets for the games you want to see up close and in person this season. There's nothing like being in the game for the biggest plays of the year, and with SeatGeek, it's never been easier to get the seats you want for a great value. SeatGeek has the best deals on every ticket in the house, wherever you want to sit, whether that's courtside, the club seats, or the upper level. Now, I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. I've used it during football season to get some UW tickets up in Seattle, and I always enjoy trying to see what the ticket prices are for the upcoming games. And I know on Monday you can get in the field house for $4, for goodness sakes. I'm in the upper level. Looking at the green dots, you can get a good lower level ticket right now against the Magic for $37. Great deals on tickets for Monday. Now, Wednesday, LeBron comes to town. You know prices are going to be higher because of the demand to see the defending champs. So you can get in the house for as little as $26. There's other upper level seats, row one, upper level at 36. Lower level seats are going to be a little more pricey. Let's see, best ticket I'm seeing right now is 125, lower level behind the hoop. So it should be a great crowd, and LeBron always brings some good action to the field house. So make sure you check out the seats on SeatGeek, and because, you know, with SeatGeek, you always get the best deal on every ticket. Because SeatGeek price compares for you by searching multiple ticket sites. Prices can vary depending upon where you shop, but with SeatGeek, you'll always find the lowest available price. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. So look for the big green dots. Plus, every ticket you buy on SeatGeek is backed by a 100% guarantee. And best of all, for all my listeners, get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. So to get the $20 rebate, this is what you do. Download the SeatGeek app on your phone, then go into the Settings tab and click Add a Promo Code. And then enter promo code LOPACERS. Capital L, capital O, capital PACERS. And then make a ticket purchase. SeatGeek will send you $20 after that first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code LOPACERS today. Okay, so we've talked about some of the numbers and technical parts, I guess, of the game failing the Pacers in their two losses, but it just feels like there's some other issues hampering this roster right now. There just really is no juice with anybody. There's no, you know, it goes beyond not having a dog out there who's going to get in people's face. But being in the locker room after games and seeing the way guys interact and just the body language between guys on the game, there just isn't that energy, that winning vibe that, you know, a good team has. And obviously, they're getting to know each other. And Miles Turner talked about after the game how he feels like they're getting a lot closer than they have been at the beginning of the year. Going on the road for a couple trips helped a little bit. And everybody's feeling a lot more comfortable around each other. But I don't know. Maybe there's too many introverts on the team. I know there's some quiet guys with Jeff Teague. And even at times, Paul George can be that way. He's obviously got to be the alpha dog on that team. But looking around, it's kind of hard to see where that fire is going to come from. I mean, Monta Ellis can do that at times, but other times he'll be quiet. CJ Miles is always an upbeat guy, always a good talker. He's probably the best talker in the locker room. But there's just so many subdued voices. And one thing I know with Paul George, especially, and he who wears the crown as the alpha dog gets all the criticism, and I appreciate his effort. He's the guy who he wants to be the leader of the team, and this is his first go around. Not saying it's not going to happen, but he's still got a ways to go. Even after this game where he didn't even play, he just can barely talk. He's just so frustrated after a game, and he's good at, you know, leveling the criticism, pointing out things the team is not doing. That's admirable on one front, but when you're leading the team, when you're trying to get guys to buy in and come with you, at some point, you got to put forth some assertive, positive comments and feed your team with some confidence that things are going to get better. We keep doing this. We're going to improve. We know what we're not doing. We can fix it. We got the capability. All these things, it just doesn't sound like he believes it whenever he tries to say that right now. So we will see how that evolves. I'm a big fan of the emotional side of things and the team dynamic, and it is a struggle right now. And, of course, one win or two wins, if they win two out of three this week, that can go a long way to bringing things out of people in that locker room and finding some unity amongst the team and what they're trying to do and getting that positive affirmation that I'm talking about. It no doubt is a struggle after losses, but when you hit that adversity, that's when you find out what your team is really made of. So it's gonna be tough after a game like Philly. When they look at the tape, they're gonna see, and I'm sure they already have, several examples of players not going after 50-50 balls that in some cases look like 75-25 balls, honestly. One sticks out in my mind vividly, Monte and Al Jefferson on a rebound that was just dropping it in between them and a guy from Philly. Either Monte or Al takes one step and reaches out, they have the ball. But it was like they both thought, the other guy will get it. And then even the Philly guy, I think, didn't think he was going to get it. And when no one grabbed it, he went in and grabbed it. And that wasn't the only time that happened in that game. Remember, it seemed like three or four other instances where the ball dropped almost to the ground, and it was like they always were thinking someone else was going to get it. And that was just, a killer in that game. Every possession counted in an overtime game. And I almost was thinking about how they have maybe too many veterans on this team. It's so early in the season. McMillan talks about trying to find that sense of urgency to play with, and maybe, these guys are well aware of the marathon season and they're not going to panic early. But I tried to run that theory by McMillan on Saturday about having too many vets on the team aware of the marathon season that makes it hard to gin up the sense of urgency. And he understood what I was going at, but was adamant that the urgency he wants to see is from the execution on the court. And if you're on the court, you got to play a certain way. And you're not saving anything for down the road. They have periods of rest, and when you're out, you're out. But when you're on the court executing with five other guys, there's got to be that urgency to figure out how to play better together on the floor. And that's just a simple first step that the team has to go through. So one more oddity from the Boston loss was that Thad Young didn't play his normal fourth quarter minutes. Thad, he's been up and down without a doubt and had his struggles throughout the season, but he was playing pretty well in this game and actually scored 6 of his 10 points in the third quarter. But McMillan liked the matchup he had. He addressed it after the game. He liked the matchup better with LaVoy Allen, and I guess the matchup was against Jarebko for the Celtics, although he didn't play the whole fourth quarter either. But, and to be fair, also, Allen has been about even with Young, if you're looking, just say at plus-minus numbers and that type of thing. But when Young has it going, he gives the team a different dynamic and an offensive threat. And McMillan said they really kept considering putting him in, but it also kind of sounded like at some point they just went with who they had out there and decided not to put him in. So that was odd. Young didn't play any minutes in the fourth quarter, and I think maybe the Pacers could have used him on a few possessions, at least at the offensive end, down the stretch. So we'll see if there's any improvement against the Magic. Paul George is still listed as questionable although after the game, as I mentioned earlier, on Saturday, he felt confident he'd be able to play on Monday. But the team didn't practice on Sunday, so the shoot-around Monday will likely determine his availability, as the Pacers will get the Magic coming in on a back-to-back, favoring Oklahoma City for a really hard-fought game where they beat the Thunder with a last-second shot and a career-high by Serge Ibaka against his old team. So hopefully he got that out of his system and won't do damage to the Pacers in that fashion. But Frank Vogel's coming back. You know his team is going to be playing hard for him, and hopefully the Pacers will match that effort, which would be nice to see. Big effort from the Pacers, no? All right. Well, thanks for listening. As always, love to hear your thoughts on the Pacers, so hit me up via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. Thanks again, SeatGeek. Remember, enter promo code LOPACERS to earn $20 back on your first ticket purchase using the SeatGeek app. And also, you can find the podcast on audioboom.com. Also, subscribe to the pod on iTunes and Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where you can hear all past episodes. So please check them out. All right, well, that's a wrap for today. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. You got it.